What size shoe are you this week? 11s. He's got two of the most beautiful feet on the planet, this guy right here. Feet are awesome, you know. God made them. He knows what he's doing. Bless you, man. I didn't embarrass you too much, just a little bit. It's all right. Praise God. So we want to just talk about, if we can just talk, you know, about the Holy Spirit. And I've got a couple of things I want to mention, and then a couple of stories to tell, and then we want to minister to people. But I'm convinced of this. We've spent this month, this will be our last time focusing in this particular season on the Holy Spirit. But we because next week we have Lavanya coming, and you'll enjoy that. And then when we hit December, so week after next, we're going to talk about Jesus and the good news, and what good news we believe. And then we're going to have a couple of Christmas services, and it's just going to be exciting. I want us to just be really diligent and vigilant in reaching people around in our community for Jesus, in just bringing good news to them, inviting them. So we've talked about this for the month, and we're going to have a great time next month. But I want us to keep being very aware of what our mission is, what our purpose is, which is to reach the community or communities we're in with the love and the power, the person of Jesus. That's the mission. I love this thought, you know. I love the local church. I think it's very, very important. I think God continues to breathe on it, and he will continue to, especially in our nation and in Europe, he will continue to bring forth the revelation of how important his local church is. But I also see him reworking a little bit of what that means. You know, there'd be a number of prophetic figures over the last 10 years or so that have talked about what they would call the most significant transformation in the kingdom since the Reformation. And I don't know if that's exactly true. It sounds reasonable, but I have no doubt that God is doing something on a very significant scale and reworking and reweaving what the church is and what he wants it to be. Because in the old days, we were not even that aware of how important church was. And we suffer a little bit from that in our nation still. As soon as you have Christians that feel like they're in the will of God and they're faithfully loving Jesus and they're meeting in little kind of isolated groups in a home, you know, without any anointed overseer, without any accountability, without any sense of fellowship with a broader group, then you've got an unhealthy situation. But it happens in all nations. But it's not healthy. The other extreme is you know, stuff that I went through as a younger man when it was almost like the local church was more important than Jesus. You know what I mean? And they didn't care that much. Well, they did care on paper if you were committed to Jesus, but it was very important you were committed to the local church. And I think that's got an emphasis in it that's unhealthy as well. But the Holy Spirit is the person that's the Lord of the church. Jesus is Lord, but Jesus is not on the planet. So when in Acts 13 verse 2, you don't have to turn there, the Holy Spirit said, "Separate me, Paul and Barnabas, for the work to which I have called them." And they went off then, planting churches, entering into the apostolic ministry. And so the Holy Spirit called them to that. Ministry and the leadership of churches is the Holy Spirit's work. In Acts chapter 20, verse 21, 22, 23, 24, somewhere in there, it says, take heed to yourselves, might even be 28, it says, take heed to yourselves, watch yourselves, and the people, or the congregation, the church, over which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. The Holy Spirit makes people overseers. It's his choice. He calls them. He positions them, then he anoints them to do that responsibility, to take that role. And And we have all kinds of human ways, which aren't bad things necessarily, of, you know, was this person trained here, or is this person completed this theological doctorate, or has this person been, you know, whatever, all these kinds of different trainings. And they're not bad things, as long as they're Spirit-led things. But at the end of the day, what you really want to know is the Holy Spirit anointing, ordaining, and overseeing what's going on here? Because he chooses people through whom to work. And it's really important that what many Christians would consider almost extra, almost really, well, they're a really spiritual person. It's like we ascertain by revelation, somehow we have a knowing in our heart that the Holy Spirit is. It's very important that we understand that we've been given that ability, we've been given that capacity, because when you follow Jesus, you follow the Holy Spirit, but you also follow a leader. You do both those things. And the Holy Spirit anoints the leader. And you can see Paul saying that. Paul says, follow me, imitate me, like the same things that I do, you do what I do. So he talks like that. But if you have just that emphasis without a sense of the Holy Spirit in it, then you've got an overly man-made structure. How many understand what I'm saying? If on the other hand, you just follow the Holy Spirit and you're not willing to flow with any person in an overseeing position, you don't recognize that, well, then you've gone too far the other way. Because the same Holy Spirit that you're following with also positions people in the body. You know, when the body of Christ is effective, David's army is a great example. You might have read this passage, it's a wonderful passage in the Old Testament, where it talks about this mighty army of David. He was the one that God had raised up. He wasn't God. He never claimed to be God. David wasn't God. Man, David made some bad mistakes. But he was God's appointed person for those people at that time. And the people that were following him, it said they were an awesome army because they sought to make him king. They knew what position he had. They knew what God had anointed him to do. And it says, and they were all able to keep rank. They knew their role in this whole structure. They knew where they fitted in. And so everybody has a appointed position. I'm not trying to get you to make me king, by the way. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the prince. I don't want to be king. I'm not royalty. I'm not born to it. I'm just having a little joke. Are you with me? Yeah. But the point is that the Holy Spirit anoints people to lead. Yeah. Now, in the book of Acts, the Holy Spirit is the guy that wrote this book, the person that wrote this book, when I say the guy, the part of the Godhead that wrote the book. And through the book of Acts, really all the theologians will tell you originally it was really the Acts of the Holy Spirit, not the Acts of the Apostles. And so we've got all these things that happen, and I've encouraged you, and I hope that some of you have taken the opportunity to reread the book of Acts and look through it afresh in terms of what the Holy Spirit is doing and how important he is to what we do. He's leading the church. And we need to understand that. We need to understand that we're to know him. One of the ways that he speaks to us is through imagination. And I spoke for that on that probably twice or so about a month ago. And a little phrase that he dropped in my heart, which I haven't got to really emphasize, I want to drop in just now, is when we're discovering what the will of God is and what the purpose of God is for our lives. And that's the most wonderful thing you can do, the will of God for your life. If any of you have this mindset like, oh, that could be scary, well, what if God really wants me to do something that I don't want to do? You've got to really correct that picture of God, because he's not like that. He loves you more than anybody loves you. He loves you more than you love yourself. He loves you more than your parents love you. And he knows exactly what you're wired for. So to be free to let him take you into what he's got for you is the smartest decision. And that thing of yieldedness is really important. Just saying, well, sure, Holy Spirit, whatever you want to do, that's fine. Let's do that. And one of the ways he speaks is is by imagination, that we begin to imagine, that we see in vision form. It could be in an open vision, but often in our hearts we see ourselves doing a certain something. Imagination. And the little phrase he dropped in my heart was, you've got to imagine before you reason. You've got to dream before you start figuring out whether this can work or not. In the West, we love reasoning. We love rationalizing and figuring it out. And often the Holy Spirit is got dreams for us that are bigger than our own dreams for our own lives. He's got ideas for us that are incredible, beyond your wildest expectation. He's awesome. But many times we reason, we think, well, this is me, these are my gifts, this is where I was born, this is what I think my ability is, this is my situation. And we reason before we imagine. We shut down the imagination because our reasoning says that couldn't happen. And then we miss what God is saying to us because he speaks more through imagination. When you start to, you've got to imagine first. You've got to dream first. The world has been changed. You're all sitting there with an iPhone or some kind of device, most all of us, because somebody dreamed that that could happen and thought, let me, and you've got, you know, Steve Jobs and others that have all been involved in that. I'm not an expert with that. We fly through the air. We have, I don't know what it is, how many, so many million people in the air all around the world at any one time. Because somebody, William and Orville Wright are the guys we know, that dreamed that we could actually take off and be suspended and travel through the air, what we now call flight. It's less than 100 years ago. And never that, and if you, everyone that reasoned, shut them down. And that always happens. It couldn't happen. Everyone that knew Bill Gates and knew that he was in Harvard and he was a very bright boy and he was going to do extremely well at Harvard, and he dropped out after 1 year, which is not what most people do. Because Harvard is like this makes your career kind of thing. But he dreamed and he saw something, and Harvard wasn't taking him what he saw, so he got out. He followed his dream. But a lot of people, most people, would have advised him at the time, don't do that. You're taking a long shot on something that may not happen. You know, be secure, be sure. But you've got to be able to dream before you reason. Reason's important, but not as a priority over dreaming and imagining. It's one of the ways that God will speak to you. The Holy Spirit is the one that brings power. Have a quick look at Luke chapter 4 and verse 18. We'll open there and we'll open in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And I'll just speak a little bit out of that. In Luke 4:18, Jesus is speaking. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is on me. Everyone say, the Spirit of the Lord's on me. Because he has anointed me. The Spirit of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit, it's the same person. He's on me because he's anointed me. You'll see that the Spirit on you and the anointing all through the Bible are used interchangeably, synonymously. The anointing is the presence, literally means an oily drop. The presence of God, the anointing of God on your life, something the Holy Spirit brings. And it says, he's on me because he's anointed me to proclaim good news, to send me to proclaim freedom, recovery of sight to the blind, set the oppressed free, proclaim the year of the Lord. Jesus knew what the Holy Spirit had anointed him to do. And the reason he preached the way he did, and the reason he did the miracles that he did, and the reason that he was able to get the widow Nain's son out of a coffin alive and to call forth, and on we go, and the women who was bent over for 18 years. The reason he did that was not because he was the Son of God. He was the Son of God for 30 years before that, and he didn't do any of those things. The aspect of him being the only born, virgin-born Son of God is important in terms of redemption, because he took our place But it's not important in terms of what he did for God. It's the Holy Spirit on his life that enabled him to do that. Are you with me? And it's the same Holy Spirit that's on your life that's going to enable you to do things. Some of us are not doing what we dreamed we might do, or not even sure what we should be doing, because we're not in fellowship with the person who's anointed us to take us into that place. When I say fellowship, once you're born again, he's in you. Once you're baptized or filled with the Holy Spirit, then he clothes you, his power comes on you, and that gift of praying in the Spirit, or praying in tongues, some people use that phrase, that becomes your ability, you're enabled to do that. But the Holy Spirit isn't just a trick, he's not just a gift, he's not just a feeling, he's a person. And he wants to be respected just like you would respect the Father or Jesus. He wants to be, and he wants to know you. And the reason many Christians live to some degree or other frustrated or confused, not sure what God's will is simply because they haven't fellowshipped with the Holy Spirit. I told you a couple of weeks ago about Yonggi Cho's experience in exactly that regard, when he talked about how he prayed 3 hours a day and fell asleep under the kind of the presence of God came on him. It was freezing cold where he's praying, but he slept and he had a vision, dream, and God spoke to him in this time of connection with God. And Jesus said to him, what I'm saying to you. He said, because the word is koinonia. We see it in 2 Corinthians, the last chapter. Everyone say koinonia. And it's normally translated, you know, communion or fellowship, the fellowship, communion of the Holy Spirit. But what it means is to participate in, to co-labor, to cooperate with. Cho calls the Holy Spirit his senior partner. Everything he does, everywhere he goes, he's learnt. He said, I learnt that day that he's the senior partner. And he said, any business person in any country, anywhere in the world, would give everything they have to have a senior partner like this one. And it's true. But for many of us, we're so busy with the other stuff that maybe this little time, and the reason we're kind of, you know, just a little bit quiet here, is just to, that's just the anointing, the presence of God, the way the Holy Spirit is leading our service. But he, you know, he's involved in, he just wants to be recognized. He wants us to walk with him. He wants us to be conscious of him, like your best friend, like your senior partner. And Christians, and they're beautiful people. I'm not mad at people. I'm just saying there's such an incredible life available to every person. If you were to really walk in fellowship with the Holy Spirit, I'm not saying all your problems would disappear, because they may well increase. But I'm saying you would have a knowledge of someone with you that would remove the fear from your heart, that would give you clarity on what you're going to do, that would save you marrying the wrong person, that would help you if you're married and it looks like it's falling apart, know what to do. And you can't always save those things, because it takes two to tango, but could help you in that situation, that could show you why this area of your life is flourishing but that area is not flourishing. There's nothing he doesn't know, and he loves you, but he wants for us to really fellowship with him, to make time to be with him. Let me just give you a couple of things and we'll minister to people. just a couple of clues on things that have helped me. Because we could teach, but I don't really feel like we should. Here's three things that are going to help you to walk into that place. Number one, and maybe it's the most important thing, is just hunger. Just a hunger for God. You know, when I was a young Christian, I was a Christian for 5.5 years before I received this baptism in the Holy Spirit. Never prayed in tongues in that time, never. But I knew something was going on. I knew there was something more than I experienced. And so what I did was, I was so hungry for God. I was 22. I was a student with not much money and a car that cost $400 Australian. And I sold it 2 years later for $200 Australian. But I drove about 4 hours south of Sydney, 3.5 hours just past Nowra. There's a mountain there called Pigeon House Mountain. And I'm not a tenter. I mean, ask my wife, I'm not. But I had a really shabby tent. But all I wanted to get close to God. You know, and I didn't have my doctrine straightened out. My theology wasn't perfect. Thankfully, my theology is perfect now, you know. I know everything there is to know now. I've got it all sorted out, if you believe that. But I knew very little then. Do you see? So you knowing it all and having it all figured out, God, you know, it's not that important. You having your life exactly clean. You know, my life wasn't exactly clean. I'm off there fasting. I'm going to fast, but I hate fasting. And so I'm driving down there. I had a car accident, banged into. It was only me and the wall. It was only me and a soil wall. I'm driving along there, and it's an old banger. Of a, you know, it probably looked better after I hit the wall. But anyway, it kept driving. It was all right. I'm putting up this tent. I'm fasting, but I just hate fasting. And I found like a milk bar, we call them, about 0.5 mile up the street. So I thought, well, I'll be faithful, you know. At least I'll walk. I won't drive up the street. And at least I let myself have milkshakes, you know, and I had these big chunky milkshakes, so much of those. And so I didn't get everything right, you know, but I was hungry for God. I just wanted, and there's a beach there called Race Course Beach. And nobody had really instructed me on how to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. But I went down to the beach and I'm just seeking God. I remember it distinctly, and I'm just talking to God, and I knew that this praying in the Spirit, I wanted that to happen, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I really didn't know how that worked, but I knew it was something I wanted, and I'm down there seeking God. And I must have been on the beach, Race Course Beach, for about 3 hours. And then halfway through this, I find myself kind of lost in the presence of God and singing in this language I didn't know, but I wasn't really confident. I didn't know you could sing. So I'm out, and I'm kind of half baptized in the Holy Spirit. You with me? I just had this hunger for God. Hunger's an enormous thing. You don't have to have everything right, but hunger is an enormous thing. And do you know what you do more, you get more hungry for? Money's like that. Football's like that. Computer games are like that. Every area, the more you do something, the more hungry you'll create for it. If you want to get more hungry for God, start to at least take some steps in that direction. Holidays are like that, you know. They get the travel bug because you started doing it and an appetite kind of developed. Get an appetite for being filled with God's presence, for fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit. At that time, I was a student. It was 1983. I was in my last year doing primary teaching at university. And a friend of mine, who's now a pastor, and me were looking after somebody's house that was off doing something. And even though I was a student and I got through, but I was far hungrier for God. I was putting far more energy into the things of God and the studies. Now, I'm not saying, Ethan, that that's a good example to go. I think you should be hungry for both. But there's something about knowing God. See, this is not religion. This is not Christianity is my choice above other. This is knowing God. And He wants to know you. And I remember there was a garage out the back, a roller door kind of garage that they'd turned into a lounge. And I was just hungry for God. You know, I'm sure I had assignments to do. But I wasn't watching the television. And I wasn't playing computer games, and I'm not mad at you if you do. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying, what are you hungry for, really? And I found the Psalms, and I started to read the Psalms, and I still remember it, and I'm reading them out loud. And I must have been there for an hour, hour and a half, 2 hours. I don't know how long I was there. And then the presence of God just really filled this garage. I still remember it today. And it was like a person was in front of me, like the Holy Spirit. And I remember he said this. He said, I give you the gift of prophecy. And then it was like, you know, we use the term energy. You mightn't like that term, but it's like all the energy, all the anointing in the room all went into me. It was a strange experience, but the Holy Spirit's quite an unusual person. And you want to have some experiences with the Holy Spirit. But you've got to make time. And you've got to flick on the hunger. They're really the keys. And the other thing I would say is to just abandonedly worship Him and pray in the Spirit as much as you can. Just make time for that. That's helped me enormously. John G. Lake, who I've told you about so many times, you know that he said praying in tongues has been the making of my ministry? That's a remarkable statement. You know Smith Wigglesworth, the English, tremendous miracles. You know that they asked him, what's your secret? He said, all I do is I spend 2 hours every afternoon praying in the Spirit, building my own spirit up, and then I go out in the evening and I build the people up. Charles Finney, who most do not identify or understand as a Pentecostal particularly, great revivalist, about 500,000 people saved and born again way before we had the kind of communication we have now in the second half of the 1800s in the New England states of America. He was a lawyer and got filled with the Holy Spirit and just gave that up because he was so hungry for God. Got filled with the Holy Spirit. 85% of the people that received Jesus under his ministry never stopped following Jesus. The highest statistic like that we have anywhere in church history. So hungry for God. And he said the number one requirement for a minister is that they be filled with the Holy Spirit, that they have this power from on high. He's here, but we've got to invite him to know him better than we ever have before. Can I get you, Sam, just to come and play a couple of quiet chords? And I'd like us to just put our notes down. And just in this last little time of our service together, I want to give you an opportunity to identify. Let's stand together. Can we do that? And play that song, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. That'd be great. To identify a hunger in our own heart for more of God. I want more of God. I want to tell you that the single most important answer to every area of your life is God. I believe in good teaching. I believe in community. I believe in having fun together. I believe in hospitality and having people over for meals. I believe in reaching people and talking to people about Jesus. But if unless you have an encounter with the person of the Holy Spirit, it'll easily and quickly become what we would call works. We're trying our best to do it, but there isn't the level of divine power. There's a person who wants to get to know you more than you've ever known him before. And if you're, I'm not going to force anybody, I don't mind, I'm a messenger, but if you in your heart are saying here today, I want that, I want more of God, I want more of God. Maybe you're pretty full already. Maybe you feel like you've lost the way a little bit. It doesn't matter. God's not mad at anybody. But he's ready to pour out his Spirit. If you're saying, I'm hungry, God, give me some more of you, then I just want you to come out the front here and form a line, and Owen will help us with that line. And I'm going to touch you just on your head, probably lay hands, they call it. Yeah, just form a line. You're hungry for more of God. I just want you to close your eyes. And in your heart, you're saying, Holy Spirit, I want more of you. I don't mind if the whole church is here. It's all right with me. If I were you, I'd be certainly out here. Because he's the one that's got the answer to every problem you have. Holy Spirit, Owen, I'll probably need your help here. And maybe John Wilson can help you. I'm not sure how his back is. But we got Dan, yeah. Thank you. Holy Spirit, thank you. Come. Just stay hungry in your heart. Breathe. breathe, fill this daughter of yours with more of your power than ever before. Just be hungry. The key that releases the power is your hunger. Just know, it's just like electricity. It goes wherever there's the least resistance. And when you just yield in your heart and you say, sure, God, anything. I'm hungry for you. Give me more. Give me more. He will respond to that. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I just release, Father, your anointing and your power. And just be conscious that you're receiving power this morning. Holy Spirit, come. Touch every person here. Touch this woman, Father, that you have set apart for your purposes. He set you apart for his purposes. His purpose has included healing the sick. That's what I know. Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit. I release your power, your fire, your anointing, that these people know you, that they encounter you. Let dreams, yep, that's the presence of God. Just let it go. That the presence of God, that these people just encounter you. They start to have dreams and visions. They start to be able, Father, by the grace of God, to give up habits they found challenging, to change their thinking. Father, the power of the Holy Spirit comes in Jesus' name. You know, you're someone that's very sharp mentally. You're sharp mentally. And I can tell just when I lay hands on you that you are. But the Holy Spirit says, let me just touch your heart. Relax and just say, sure, God. Sure, God. Hallelujah. There is another part of your being that he's going to access. He sees it. He sees the trueness of your heart, though. He does. Thank you, Jesus. More and more. More and more. Be in a receiving mode. Father, let the presence of the Holy Spirit just touch every person here. Father, bless. Father God, let the anointing, the presence of the Holy Spirit travel through. Let greater hunger, greater vision, greater dreams, greater revelation, Father. Greater carrying of your presence, Father. That's it. Lord, let that beautiful presence of your Holy Spirit flow in Jesus' name today. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Let your anointing be on Dave, Lord, as he looks to find your voice and understand your weaving in what you're doing in, not just in our church, but in the churches. And I thank you that you have set him apart. It's like God is just saying, you know, this whole process you're going through, it's because I have made you to have a role and take a place in the influence of people. But know this, says the Lord, that the Holy Spirit is your greatest key. That sometimes an unction will lead you when the metrics don't add up. That doesn't mean the metrics are wrong. That's all good. We need that. But I just believe the Holy Spirit is going to touch your heart in such a beautiful way and do work in your family too, like you have cried out for. The love that you have for your family. We release blessing upon all of them in Jesus' name. Father, let your anointing be on Liana, Lord, as she looks into the future. Looks into what you have ahead. She's got a sense of vision. Father, I pray that she would know you better. She'd know your voice more. That there'd be greater yieldedness than ever before, Father, in her heart. Thank you for Adoronke, Lord. Your presence right here this morning in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, touch her life. Hallelujah. Let grace be upon her children. Take care of your children. Lead them and guide them. Yeah. Don't be afraid to learn some new ways to do that. The Lord is with you. The Lord is with you. Father, let that great anointing, that great sense of your presence flow over Carrie, Lord. Someone that you've set apart, Lord, to serve you, to bring you to people. Thank you, Jesus, for a greater light of illumination in a spirit. That the things that seemed, that are starting to become clearer, I see a great light shining in your spirit, in your inner person. And you're going to get real clarity on certain issues. And it's going to be quite amazing to you. Because it'll be intelligent, but it'll also be spiritual. Hallelujah. Father, let your grace just flow over this family in Jesus' name, over Chrissy right now. Thank you, Lord, for the fruit the beautiful, juicy fruits that are hidden behind those prickles. Thank you, Lord. We thank you that you've already begun to allow her to eat of that fruit, but that there's more. There's more, there's more, there's more, there's more. And there's a strength of leadership that the Lord's going to release in you. Hallelujah. There's a strength of leadership. There's a strength of commanding. And it seems to me like that'll may have an impact into the job situation as well. That what you look for in work, maybe look for something where you actually lead people and organize people and exercise influence. Maybe just see if that opens a door. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your anointing on Anderson, Father. Oh, Father, let him know you as a young man that's been brought up in your house all these days. And we love him. He's so loved here. I pray that you visit him. I pray that strange things begin to start to happen in his heart when he finds a distaste, an increasing distaste for stuff that maybe used to appeal to him, because something's going on inside of him. It's you calling him to know you. I pray, and I'm sure I'm in agreement with Owen and Chrissy, that above everything else, this young man hunger and thirst for you, dear God, and walk with you. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Let's just lift our hands to heaven. Some people are just in the presence. The Holy Spirit is here. The anointing of God is here. And these are wonderful times. Father, I bless you for our church, those that are here, those that aren't here. And I just release your presence this morning and say, come. Come and draw us all nearer to you. Thank you for opening doors that no man can shut. Thank you for visiting us in remarkable ways. Thank you that right now in this season, the outcome is going to be miraculous. Thank you for healing sick bodies. But more than that, thank you for sending us to heal sick bodies and to love people and to bring the aroma of Jesus. Thank you for this special morning. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being here. You've done things this morning that no person can do. We're so glad for it. Help us to become more and more dependent on you. If you believe it, say yes, Lord. Amen. Now, there are some here that are just being touched by the Lord. And if that's you right now, then I want you to just to stay there and for Sam to keep playing if you don't mind. And it could be another 2, 3, 5. Thank you.